You are listening to This Book I Read, a podcast from Beyond Cataclysm. Welcome to This Book I Read, a podcast from Beyond Cataclysm, where we talk to authors and designers and creative people about a book that has stuck with them through the years, for good reasons and sometimes for bad ones. My name is Chris, he, him, also known as CM Lowry. I write and read lots of nonsense, including sci-fi, novels, short stories and RPGs. You can find out more about me at allaboutchris.org and various places on the internet as at CM Lowry author. But you're not here to listen to me. You are here to learn from the amazing Marco Serrano, writer of Greenhorns and Constant Downpour. Hello.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Marco.
Yeah, I'm Marco Serrano. I create tabletop role-playing games and modules in Kansas in the United States, right smack dab in the middle. And yeah, I'm a father of four. And I like to create things, draw, illustrate, layout, etc. So, yeah.
I don't really know very much about Kansas at all, apart from it's in The Wizard of Oz. But apart from that, I used to live in Lincolnshire, in a very which is a very flat county in the UK. And it's very flat. It's super boring how flat it is. There's no hills or anything like that. And I heard this thing online about Kansas being extremely flat as well. And I found someone had done a scientific study. So we have the phrase flat as a pancake in English. Someone had done a scientific study where they'd analysed a pancake. They'd put it in some kind of machine that can measure pancakes. And they'd looked at, over the length of a pancake, how much variation in height does it have? And then they looked at Kansas and discovered that Kansas is absolutely scientifically flatter proportionally than a pancake. And Lincolnshire is flatter than Kansas. So that was an interesting moment in my very sad nerdy life.
Very fun. They're very fun to know. Yeah, we have some rolling hills, but, you know, it's pretty plain. Well, it's prairie.
I think what it turns out is when you get close up to a pancake, it's quite bumpy.
Right,
I think that's probably really. Anyway, Marco, why have you come on the show?
Well, there's this book I read.
So, yeah, there's a book you've read. In fact, it's not even a whole book, is it? What have you read?
Yeah, I've read a short story by Ray Bradbury called The Long Rain, which is a great psychological sci-fi thriller. I think it's a really good one. I think it's a really good thinker. I think it's a good little jaunt. You know, it's nice, short.
It's definitely a jaunt. It's definitely short. So I one of the things that's always a bit annoying when we have guests on the show is I don't get the chance to like to read every book that people, you know, so maybe about a third of them I've read the book or I've read some of the book. The beauty of a 12-page short story is about an hour ago I thought, oh, I wonder if I can read that story, and it's free online, it's out of copyright now, and so I read it, and it's gripping. It takes you on a journey. Yeah. Have you got a quote for us from it that you'd like to share?
I don't have one in particular, but I have it pulled up, and I could just read like the opening paragraph. I think it's pretty.
I mean, it's only 12 pages. You could just read the whole thing, didn't you? There we go.
right. Yeah. If you want me to read it off, I can.
No, let's go. Let's go with those first couple of paragraphs.
Okay. Sure. It says, "The rain continued. It was a hard rain, a perpetual rain, a sweating and steaming rain. It was a mizzle, a downpour, a fountain, a whipping at the eyes, an undertow at the ankles. It was a rain to drown all rains and the memory of rain. It came by the pound and the ton. It hacked at the jungle and cut the trees like scissors and shaved the grass and tunneled the soil and molted the bushes. It shrank men's hands into the hands of wrinkled apes. It rained a solid, glassy rain, and it never stopped.
I mean, that's just, yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? And I read that opening sentence and thought, oh, I'm just definitely going to, I can't pause on this. I've just, because it's that, it keeps coming at you, doesn't it? It's that kind of perpetual kind of, and like in some ways it's terrible writing, you could almost say, because it says rain, like every sentence, you know, like as in, it's almost not good, except he's intentionally breaking the rules of what's not good to like hammer, just like the rain, unceasingly hit you in the face with it. So I think this is going to be a more heavy on spoilers podcast than we normally do, because in the next half an hour we can basically rip apart the entire 12 pages. So if you're listening, just stop and go and listen. It's a great idea, obviously, when you're running a podcast, tell people to stop listening to the podcast, but stop and just go and read it, because it'll take you like 20 minutes and then you'll come back and you'll be like, oh, I've got these same emotions. So yeah. What's your favorite thing about the book, Marco, or the story?
Oh, I mentioned before, I mean, it is a psychological thriller. I really enjoy how, well, I mean, that sounds really awful, because I mean, really it's about the sanity being whittled away from these soldiers who are stuck in the rain. And they're supposed to be at what is known as a sundome, which is basically, somebody invented the Sun Dome, which is a dome that you can actually live in on Venus. It takes place on Venus. So, you know, Ray Bradbury wrote this way before we knew a lot about Venus, let alone, you know, he's a fiction writer anyway. So we kind of have that pulp sci-fi era of what would it be like? So yeah, I mean, these soldiers are searching for refuge, and they're unable to find it. And not only are they unable to find it, but they have no sense of direction. They have no sense of time that remains. All they know is like how much rations they have and how the rain is kind of pummeling them. And so I think it's a very interesting like introspection on the different characters and how they basically one by one fall to the rain, and how like the hope like kind of just gets torn away from them, and even the character that potentially survives, their hope is also very like thinned out or pulled away until they kind of eventually maybe found the place, you know.
And when you say potentially survives, What are you saying?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously we're like very heavy in spoilers at this point, but so the lieutenant is the only one that I say potentially survives. I think I've read some other people talk about it too, but generally speaking, you know, it can be taken one of two ways. One, he finds refuge, or two, it's like a more illustrative way of him falling into insanity. And kind of, you know, he's finding the Sun Dome. And really, if you read it, when you read it, it's very much most likely the latter, because the people at the Sun Dome are, it's almost like extremely robotic. It's welcoming as itself, but there are not people rushing to help. There's this very like stale presence.
And it's an absolute it's an absolute cliche of like of safety as well, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I think he walks in the door and immediately is the smell of hot chocolate with marshmallows.
Yeah.
You know, not like I, you know, in ragged breaths came from me as I realized, finally I'm here. But like, oh, this is immediately just super nice.
Yeah.
Like not like life-savingly safe, but just really lovely. I probably hadn't. I was surprised by the end, just because I thought my most recent real kind of horror book I've read is The Death of Grass, where it's just everything gets worse throughout the book. Worse, 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 worse. And like, I was like, oh, there's actually hope. But I probably didn't spend a lot of time analyzing
Right.
it, but I did think this hope is too good. Like, it's too, this ending is too perfect for everything they've just gone through. Like, no one inside seems traumatized.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's this really odd lack of reception, and I think the word I used before, and I like more than anything I can think of now, is just like robotic, like almost as if they're just there, not really acknowledging the lieutenant.
I suppose the only thing I would account to that with is possibly, it's from the golden age of sci-fi, kind of 50s kind of era, and we're our whole publishing company's named after a book from that
Yes.
era as well. A very famous English writer called John Wyndham. But actually, that kind of 50s style would be like someone like, oh, someone bedraggled has come in from the rain. Well, it would be rude to interrupt
Fair
them.
enough,
So
yeah.
it could almost fit into that. One person rustled their newspaper at me to remind me to be quiet. But like no other response to me, like half drowned walking in. What were your, I don't know, what were the most haunting things for you in the story?
Yeah, it is like really sad. So there's this band, I believe there's four of them at the start,
Yeah, I think there's four.
and the first, I don't know, third of the story is just them kind of lamenting what they've gone through so far, and like it doesn't, like it feels bad, but it doesn't feel as bad until they get to the ship. So they
Yep.
return to their ship, and it is just devastating to them. And not only
Because they've been hunting for the Sun Dome, and it turns out for the last like day they've been walking in circles and are now back at exactly where they started.
the environment's just so treacherous, and it's sad because there's two of their fellow soldiers who have are just dead there. And then the other two, like the way that the other the people, the characters that you see like die is it's just extremely sad and haunting. It's like very like I think the first one or the second one that dies, they go out and they're basically giving up, and they're kind of raising their head up, and they don't actually do this. One of them shoots them because there's a story about what happens to people who go insane in the rain, and they'll just look up at the sky and open their mouth, and it just fills with water, and they just like drown. And it's
Yep.
like
And
so.
they kind of hypnotically just sort of choose to just give up and let the water take them.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
pretty terrifying. Like, that's pretty awful. The fact that, yeah, any instance where you feel like shooting somebody you were close to or cared about, or was it even just a comrade, to save them from a worse ending is pretty haunting. So, yeah, I think that instance actually is one of the worst. Even though the second to last person who who dies is very, I mean, that's very sad because they're like the last two, and you just want them to like go together, and then it's kind of like kind of tropey horror in a way where it's like one survivor, but you want them to kind of be together. So
Yeah, even that though, I think in tropey horror, it's rare that because I believe the penultimate person, they kill themselves, don't they? They just say, actually, I just can't go on. I'm
right.
done. I can't go on at this point. And so actually, in a way, that's almost kind of the worst ever. Like at least the guy goes mad and is sort of drowning, like as in they're kind of not in it. Whereas it's almost like the most horrific death is actually the kind of the human self-caused one at the end. I'm a doctor. So I'm pretty fine with gruesomeness.
Right.
I'm pretty used to that. There was one moment where they lay down at night to sleep, and they had to prop up their head so that water didn't go in their mouths. Like as in, because basically they're just sleeping in like 3 inches of water, and just the idea of being that consistently wet and having to like s sleep with your head at a crooked angle. Oh, it was just yeah, that was. That was probably the worst moment for me.
Yeah, it's really rough.
Any, I mean, obviously it's so short and it's really trying to do something very specific, and I think it pulls it off really well. But do you have any problems or challenges with the story?
Oh, good question. Good question. No, I think I just like it. Honestly, I don't analyze a lot of what I read as much as I don't know. If I like it, I generally like it. And if I don't, I generally don't. But yeah, I can't think of anything with this one that I like dislike per
Yeah,
se.
I think you could pick it apart. I think I probably I maybe I'd probably tweak a few of the sentences of some of their interactions with each other and kind
That's
of
fair.
believe it. Like, there's a bit where they get to the broken sun dome. So they get to one and it's knackered. And so
Yeah.
obviously that's all, you know, so everything they find, you know, they get to the spaceship, oh no, and they get to the sun dome and it's knackered. And there's a bit there where they're just like, okay, well, come on, we'll carry on going. And like they don't seem quite torn enough there, but apart from that, that is like that. And even then, like, as in actually two of them go mad with depression about how awful just, and it's not even their life is. Like, I think they all know they could survive a day and get to the next sundome. They just manage to get
Yeah.
so horrible they give up before then. So I think that's the beauty of a short story, that it can really achieve, you know, it doesn't really have to compromise, because it doesn't have to fill in very much. I think one of my favorite bits of any golden sci-fi era stuff is they can just do things that don't really, I quite like hard sci-fi. I like sci-fi that makes sense, that I can sort of understand the maths of. I read a lot of Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian. I don't know if you've seen the film
I
about him,
haven't,
but
but I know of it. Yeah.
yeah, and like and that has a load of calculations of potatoes. Or I've just read Artemis, where they try and blow something up, but there's a basically they miscalculate the chemical thing, and they end up knocking an entire building out with a chloroform by mistake. But it kind of the science on it works. And what I like, and I think you as the creative greenhorns, a
Yeah.
weird sci-fi kind of craziness, you're probably much more very comfortable with the idea of just. You can just say it works and you don't have to worry. And like, so in The Long Rain, there's some like, you know, Venus probably has Earth-like plants. It's got a safe atmosphere for everyone to breathe, and the plants all get bleached white. And like, why? And like, my sciencey bit's like, well, you know, there's hardly any daylight. Like, as in, I suppose, I could sort of see why they go white, but where's the chlorophyll? Like, how's, you know, like, as in, my brain was having issues with that. And everything's fungal as well. So the people that die have already got stuff growing through them, which is nasty.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think as you were mentioning things, you know, I think I'm very forgiving with short stories as well. Not only soft fiction is not the term for it, but I always say soft fiction. But you know, in short stories, you know, I'm just super forgiving because I would rather it be a condensed story, because it's like you said, it's going after something very specific. So yeah, you know, it kind of pushed through the story in some moments, but it's because it's exploring a certain aspect. And that's fine. You know, in a short story, I think that's fine. When in a novel or even a longer short story or a novella, you want to drag that out so you're not feeling having any holes. But in a short story, it's fine. Yeah, you know, one of my favorite authors too is Ted Chiang, and he's very hard sci-fi as well in general, I think. And but yeah, I'm super open to either hard sci-fi or just you know, it just works that way, you know, and it's just accepted. And yeah,
I agree. I agree. There's definitely a thing with the short story aspect of it, that does make me more forgiving. So I don't like a novel with an uncertain ending. Like, I can, if it's done really well, then I can accept that. But there was a book, The Levels by Helen Pendry, which is an interesting sort of a psychological kind of detective story. And in that book, there's a bit right at the end where you're not sure, and spoilers if you haven't read it, where you're not sure if the reservoir gets blown up or not. It's this kind of will they, won't they moment, like the end of Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. And I actually wrote to the author and said, I loved your book. And I know it doesn't matter. And I know you've done it intentionally to not be sure, but I just want, you know, these characters. What happens at the end? Like, do you have an opinion? And the author wrote back to me and was like, yeah, I definitely don't have a canon kind of opinion of what happens here. Like, it is intentionally, but if you ask me, I think they do do it. Or, you know, I can't actually remember which way they landed, but I found that that was actually quite cathartic to me to hear the author's thoughts behind it. Whereas in this one, I love that it's potentially a dream or potentially heaven or potentially hell. You know, I think that uncertainty when it's so short, like you haven't, I think it's also because it doesn't ask the investment from you. You know, if you put 10 hours in, like, and then you're like, oh, I don't really know how to feel. Whereas here, that's not the
I
case.
agree, yep.
Do you have any other recommendations of anything that people should listen to, or not listen to, or what, any media? Is there any other kind of creative works that people should consume if they've enjoyed this?
Kaleidoscope, also by Ray Bradbury, is a very interesting short story. I cannot recall if it's so. This is from a collection of short stories called The Illustrated Man, which is one of Ray Bradbury's like well-known collections. I think Kaleidoscope also might be, but Kaleidoscope is about the instance or the moments after a spaceship basically gets blown up or crashes in the middle of space, and the astronauts, the crew, are all drifting away from each other. And that's a very interesting insight, just the exploration of what people might think and how they deal with their like angers or things that they've held in, et cetera, and just like their love, et cetera. You know, just the way that they kind of interact with each other. It's like almost purely dialogue across comms. And you know, there's the captain who, when you're all drifting in space and know you're gonna die, is not necessarily, you know, needs to be listened to anymore. So yeah, I mean, I think that's like a really good adjacent short story.
I'd also rec I'd probably recommend The Jaunt by Stephen King, which is a it's a again go and stop listening to this and go and read it, because there's going to be a spoiler now. But it's called The Jaunt, and it's about a futuristic type of space travel, and I think they basically have to be put to sleep and then they're able to jump big distances. I can't remember exactly the mechanism. And basically, there's a kid in it who pretends to be asleep but isn't actually, and then they basically age like 900 years and go utterly, utterly like cosmic horror insane. And you just have this moment where you see the child, and you've got kids, so for me it was very traumatic. Like, here's your little daughter who's just, you know, being a little bit of an annoying idiot and has just pretended to be asleep and actually isn't asleep, which as a parent, you know that your kids have pretended to be asleep and not been asleep. Like, that happens. It's very stubborn. And then what happens is they become 900 years old and utterly insane. And so you lose them and their childhood and everything. And this is this one sudden moment. And it goes from being just quite a run of the mill, quite normal, like, okay, everyone needs to go to sleep now. You've had your injection, you know, everyone will go to, you know, very routine, to just this tiny moment where you just realize, well, their child's gone. And that all of that future and potential was, and then instead what they've had is 900 years of existence all on their own, just going more and more insane. And like it's also grim. It also, much like Ray Bradbury, so I've read Fahrenheit 412, is that right? There's a film
Four
called Fahrenheit
fifty,
something as
four
well.
fifty one.
451, fine, the numbers were close. And it's I think that's the temperature at which paper will spontaneously combust, I think. And it's about books being banned and books being burnt, isn't it? And then ironically, Fahrenheit also got banned, which is very funny. I read it and I just thought it was all right. I didn't love it. And Stephen King's books, I've read them and I thought they're all right and I didn't love them. But these two short stories are like some of the best things I've ever read. So it's interesting the same connection there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think I told you before you had me on, I primarily read short stories. It's just a little easier for me. I kind of get my brain drifts a lot when I read for long periods of time. So, yeah, but that's really interesting too, because like I haven't read like like Asimov's novels, for instance, but I really didn't really like short stories very much. And like same with like Philip K. Dick. Like I read Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? I loved it. But I have the short story collection, and they're very miss. There are a lot of misses to me. Where like I really love like Ted Chiang stuff. I love, I do really like a lot of Ray Bradbury stuff. Trying to think of other authors, but I
I'd
can't
be
think of
interested.
them right now.
I'd be interested to have you. I may even post you one of our short story collections. From we stock a load of old John Wyndham novels. The
Cool.
author we're named after. So yeah, and there's a lot of misses in there, I would say. I mean, I wouldn't say loads. There's some great short stories in there as well. But I think that is the fun of a short story that you can take a reel. Like I enjoy all of his novels. But some of the shorter they are, the more sometimes he kind of. Yeah, takes a gamble.
Yeah, and I think
And I think
that's
that can be
yeah, I
fun
think it's
too.
interesting. I think if anything, even if I feel like there are a lot of misses, it's really interesting to see authors explore ideas, and then even though it's not the exact same idea they're exploring in like larger works, you can just kind of see how they're just like kind of, it's almost like an exercise, you know? I mean, obviously I don't want to like minimize the like the craft of a short story. It's extremely difficult. I think most people will tell you in a lot of mediums doing something short is even harder doing something full length. But yeah, no, I mean, they're still very interesting and there's still wins, great ones in there, but I feel the very same as like, especially in the short story world, I feel like generally in a collection, you're not gonna love more than 70% of them in a single collection, which I think is totally fine. Like you said, a very small investment. Ken Liu is another one who has a short story collection called The Paper Menagerie. And that one is actually one of my, that one has like every single story is incredible.
Awesome. I think you've mentioned quite a few, so they will be in the links at the show notes at the bottom. And I think we can move on to a little, just a little focus on
Oh,
you.
sure.
You were in What Is Roleplay, our other podcast. I think you're being released this month, which is, I don't know where we are, May for that. So I think we'll have you in a different month, so everyone's not Marco
Oh,
Serrano
sure.
out. But just tell us a little bit about, well, I suppose actually we talked about Greenhorns last time.
I
Tell
think
us
so,
about
yeah.
Constant Downpour.
Yeah, so Constant Downpour was the first RPG module I ever wrote, and it had a singular point of inspiration, which was The Long Rain. And so I originally released it as like a 40-page zine that was system neutral. I discovered Mothership shortly afterwards and fell in love with Mothership, and so I have a remastered version of it that's about 104 pages long. It's a stress crawl, I call it, or a hex crawl, that just kind of widows sanity. And it really, yeah, I'm very proud of it. It is a pretty hellish mission of sorts, for sure. But I think that it kind of takes a lot of these inspirations from the short story. Like they mentioned the Venusians, for instance, in the single sea. We do have the one sea in there and the Venusians in there. We actually like built them out and kind of how they attack, the Sundowns and stuff, and how you might run into them, and how, using that alien life form is like something that's extremely kind of horrific that can just like hunt you down, where like that's
Yeah, I mean, there's a big monster in the story which we didn't touch upon, but
true.
It's unimaginably awfully huge. It's like a mile high or something, isn't it? And it's something that's just there as a thing that you could never possibly hope to
Right,
fix.
yeah.
Like I don't in I so I haven't I backed both the zine version, and then I have also
Oh, very
our
nice.
store has stocked the the Mothership version. I'm definitely going to have a hunt through and see what the Mothership stats are for the huge
Yeah,
monster.
the storm monster does take it, I did personify that in a way. There is yeah, so it's very much centered around like nightmares and hallucinations. And so that storm encounter is a shared hallucination. And because that's basically what happens is there's this giant storm that attacks the people in the short story when they right after they get to their ship, actually. And the way he personifies is just so cool. It's like whips, like thousands of whips coming down. It's like very like monstrous. So yeah, my childhood friend David Simons, who goes by Arcfane, illustrated everything. I did illustrate like the environments, but he did like the monster, the Venusians. It's
And
very
the
retro.
covers stark and dramatic,
Yeah.
and absolutely puts across the idea of I think you could read the those opening paragraphs of the book of the short story and just look at the cover, and like the two would absolutely be this is illustrating this. So
Yeah,
yeah.
you know, and it's really so he is a concept artist, and so very a lot of it's not rendered, you know, even the cover is not extremely rendered, but yeah, it's so emotional. You know, there's like rules in there for like being on a raft, because one thing that's really cool that Ray Bradbury says is there's like this lattice work of rivers because the rain's constantly carving into the ground, and so they're just going everywhere, and we kind of have some rules around that. And yeah, I think it's good jaunt, you know.
I'm not sure it's a jaunt. I
It
think it's what
is a campaign, yeah.
it's like Stephen King's jaunt. No, as in jaunts have this vibe that they're kind of like there's a little bit of cheerfulness in
Yeah,
there, and
it's
I think it's a
definitely
punishing one, but also just a good read on its
yeah.
own. I think I'd like to sit down and just compare. I have both, but I need to sit down and actually compare the two and
Oh
like see.
yeah, from
I'm
the
not sure.
original, yeah.
Yeah, so like the original's quite loose, which fits with the kind of undefined nature of the story as well. Where obviously you've, for those of you who don't know, it's system agnostic, means it's not designed for any specific game to play. It's kind of adaptable to anything. Whereas you've moved it into a system that works, you know, that specifically works, and so you've then fine-tuned it so it works very well with that system. If the idea of systems and all of those words seems confusing, what is role play is specifically always aimed at a level where if you've never encountered role play games, all of those words are explained as we go along, and so it's very beginner friendly. Brilliant, Marco. Thank you very much for coming on the show again. If you have enjoyed listening to this, we do a lot of short fiction that we've maybe never really talked about on the show. So one of the first books we brought out was The Die Decides, which is 37 stories from 100 to 1,000 words, which was which
Oh.
and it, we used a 10-sided dice to decide what's in it. So like the themes and the topics, so you might get, I don't know, 500 words on kitchen and betrayal or something like that, and then the stories written about that. And so that was a really fun exploration in the it, 'cause you say it's hard when it's a short story.
Yeah.
Well, actually the what I found was the medium ones were the hardest. So 100 words, that's fine. It's just a thought
Right.
really. And 1,000 words, you can sort of do beginning, middle, and end, but it's 300 words is hard to like shape something that isn't just vibes, but also isn't
Right.
boring. Like in yeah, so that was fun. And then ISBN Coffee was a book of short games, fiction, poetry, and also has the world's first bag of coffee with its own ISBN number. So you can check out both of those in our web store. Have you any final words for us, Marco?
No, have a great day. That's what I got.
Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at spicytunarpg.itch.io for all of our digital books. Our Kickstarter is backslash Marco. Oh, what is that? I don't know. Marco Serrano, I think it'll pop up. But yeah, we don't have a
We'll put a link to it
We don't
below.
have a actual web store yet. We've been meaning to for the last 8 to 12 months. But yeah, so the Itch store is probably the best place to kind of see what we're doing. And the guac .substack.com is our newsletter. And there, if you want to see when we're like launching stuff or whatever, you can see. And we're Spicy Tuna RPG on Blue Sky Instagram. So you can also see when we're releasing things there too. So
Awesome. So this has been a podcast from Beyond Cataclysm. If you've enjoyed this, as mentioned, check out What is Roleplay? And you can take a look at the basics of roleplay games with special guests and a beginner-friendly approach. If you are listening, and I've told you to stop a lot of times, but if you're listening, please pause in whatever app you're in and just give us 5 stars. I looked today and discovered actually people have been doing that, and we've
nice.
got a solid 5-star rating, and we've had I think 5 people on this book I read and 3 people on What is Roleplay. Let's get that up to 10 or a million. That would be fantastic. And our aim is to continue sustainably paying Dave and myself a little bit. And also this year we've been able to give quite a lot of money to various charities and organizations. So yeah, everything that you do kind of fit, like in terms of supporting us, sharing about us, tweeting about us, doing all of that feeds into us being able to make cool creative stuff and support people like Marco with having their stuff in the UK. So it all ties together and all of that. Thank you very much. You've listened to This Book I Read, hosted by me, CM Lowry, and starring Marco Serrano. Find out more about us, our podcasts, opportunities for submissions to our projects, and more at beyondcataclysm.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.